with me to begin with. This is not going to be where I'm going to teach from tonight, but I want you to go to, if I can find my note there, go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, there has been a lot said, and it's getting down now to where even the comedians are making fun of some things. I don't usually watch the channel TMZ. I don't even know what that is, but channel surfing, and all of a sudden I heard somebody bring something up. So from soup to nuts, the information that one individual has given, he's developed a brand new theology, a brand new doctrine. And I've looked at his math, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know where he got his math from. And when you try to mathematically figure things out, I can tell you what, you're dealing with an eternal God, all right? So my point is this, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people making comments. And some people are having parties on the beach, figuring it's my last hurrah, so give me a bottle of Jack Daniels and a beautiful woman, and I'll go out with a bang, all right? I'll go out just drunk and happy. So you see, not much has changed since the garden. Sin is made fun of. But having said all that, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Because Peter makes a comment. And then it's almost as if when he makes this comment, I want to read further to find out more about that comment. But he changes the subject completely. He changes the subject because in his mind, he was going after what was really important. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And it's a subject that we've taught here. I got in my notes. I looked at my notes. I probably taught this subject personally 10 years ago. More than that. Probably more than 10 years ago. And we allude to these things. But I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want you to start at verse number 7. Now, if you read 1 Peter, remember 1 Peter and 2 Peter are not church epistles. Paul wrote the church epistles. Doesn't mean we can't get doctrine out of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Talks about the precious blood of Christ. But the whole concept, the whole heart of 1 and 2 Peter has to do with suffering. And there's a lot of things that are said that if you understand a little bit about what's going to happen when the church is taken out, what's called the rapture, not a biblical term, all right, it's a theological term, you won't find that word in your Bible. But when the church is caught out, when the believers are translated out, all right, there's a period of time, and we can talk about 7 years. I might not totally agree with the total 7 years. That's not the important thing tonight. The important thing is this. I'm not going to be there for the Great Tribulation. All right? You and I are going to be in heaven during a period of time, for a period of time, and somewhere up there during that period of time, the judgment seat of Christ takes place. So what's happening on the earth at that time, the Great Tribulation, God is dealing with the nation of Israel. The latter rain is taking place, and now it's going toward not the rapture, but the revelation, the coming, which is literally the second coming. The taking out of the church is not the second coming. The second coming is when Jesus Christ comes down and puts his feet on planet Earth one more time. Then you have a millennial reign. Then you have the end of the world. But I want you to notice what Peter says here. Because he makes this statement and then he abandons it and goes to something that he thought was more important. He says in verse number 5, Who shall give account of him? Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? All right, that's us. Going to judge the quick. All right, that's us and the dead. That's the lost. For this cause, verse 6, was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Now, look at verse number 7. And then I'm going to read 7, and then I'm going to continue to read. But, 7, the end of all things. Have you heard about that lately? But the end of all things is at hand. That little phrase, at hand, Paul uses it. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the last 2,000 years has not been the day. It's been the night. Jesus Christ is not on the face of the earth anymore. When Jesus was on the face of the earth, he said, I'm the light of the world. When he left, he gave that responsibility to you and I. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Well, he's not in this world any longer. Not bodily. You know who became the light of the world? You and I. And that book. And local churches that love that book and win people to Jesus Christ, help them to grow. But you know where you need a light? You need a light in the night. You need a light where there's darkness. So that little phrase, those two little words, at hand, at hand. He said, Peter's writing this, by the way, it's about 60 AD, somewhere around there, close. And he writes and says in verse number 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, if the end of all things is at hand, he says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And it's as if I'm wanting him to expand on this thought. And you know what he does? Look at verse number 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. What? For charity shall cover, not love. I'm going to show you tonight. Love had already been established in the Old Testament. Every other version on the market today besides the King James changes the word charity to love. Love had already been established in the Old Testament. We'll look at that. But charity had not been established. And we'll see what charity is. We don't have the time, but I've got 2 Wednesdays ahead of me. There's 15 different things that charity is. You say, well, I thought charity, I give my charitable contributions to my church. Well, I'm happy for you. But there's just a tad bit more to charity than, and I don't have any money on me, deliberately. Somebody might want some charitable contributions. There's just a tad more to charity than giving money. We'll see. He says charity and above. Wait a minute, above? The end of all, he just said, but the end of all things is at hand. And then he shifts into another gear and he says, above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, here's where I want to go here. Go to 1 Corinthians with me, because if you're going to talk about charity, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I started there deliberately, because it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get on a certain, you know, Jesus Christ doesn't tell me to preach the rapture. Doesn't mean you can't explain the rapture to people. Jesus Christ does not tell me to preach the second coming. He tells me to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The second coming is not the gospel. The rapture's not the gospel. I didn't say you can't explain things to people. But I know guys, I'm going to flat out say this. I know guys that make their entire ministry in hammering homosexuals. Does the Bible have some pretty definitive things to say? Yes. It's also got some pretty definitive things to say about pride, a loose tongue, envy, strife, division, on and on and on. Murmuring, complaining, bitterness. But I know guys that make an entire ministry out of one particular thing. We have to watch as a church. And let me just say to you this. My pastor and I are one coin. We might be one corn. One coin. We are a little corny sometimes. At least me. One coin. Two sides. He's got one personality and I've got another. My wife's got one personality and I have another. One coin. We have to watch that we don't start to major on things that God told us. All of a sudden, Peter says, listen, the end of all things is at hand. And then he shifts gear and he says, let me tell you about charity. Are you nuts? Tell me about the end. He says, no. Because you know what charity is? Charity is a behavior. God's interested in my behavior tonight. We teach some pretty strong doctrine around here. If you're just new to First Bible Church, I'm going to say something to you. Get a notebook, get a pen, get your Bible open. I've been to Bible college. I've got 2 or 3 degrees from it. If you want them, I'll give them to you. I told that to some of the guys. He asked me for it the other night. I got a few years here, 1 year there, 3 years here. Got my Missiological Training Institute. I got the letters after the... But let me tell you this. You are going to get a seminary education if you'll just stay put long enough. And you're going to get it from the place where you're really supposed to get it. It's called a local church. I've been to college. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm all for education. I think everybody ought to read at least by the 6th grade. Okay? That book that you got in your hands tonight, that's a 6th grade reading level. You say, nah, it's got those big layers. Yeah, about probably maybe 100 names or so that are hard to pronounce. And their names. You and I, if we'll just stay put, you're going to get a seminary education. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. Now, the book of Corinthians is just one of those books, and I'm going to take time. Like I said, I've got this Wednesday, God willing, we've got next Wednesday, pastor's coming back, we'll jam all this in, but... If you read the book of Corinthians, it's an entire book of reproof. Now, reproof is correction. Rebuke is when you charge or blame somebody to the face. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll pick up on that. Reproof is I correct you. I instruct you and I correct you. There was so much going wrong in the book of Corinthians. If you just go back to look at the first chapter. I'm just going to kind of breeze through some of these chapters. If you get down around verse number 11, there was a division happening. If you look at verse 11, it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. They had their doctrine probably as good as anybody. But because of who they were by heritage and lineage, they always kind of sought after this wisdom. That got them into some trouble. But if you look down there, look at verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Because they were following a man. Now, just look the rest of the chapter. If you look over at verse number 22, they had a problem with signs and wonders. For the Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. They had a problem with that. If you look down through, look over at verse number, or chapter 2. Matter of fact, let's take you quickly to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is an interesting little chapter. Because if you would ask the average believer, wherever you go, tell me what it means to be carnal. They would say, well, I don't dance, and I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. All right. You might get that in the South, right? And they'd say, well, I don't smoke. I don't smoke. And my wife wears her dresses down to her ankles all the time. And I always wear a suit to church because I don't want to be carnal. I always wear a suit to church. If you see us on Sunday morning, I'll have my monkey suit on. I'll have a tie. I'll make you happy. Personally, I like Wednesday nights when I just don't have to wear any of that. See, I'm comfortable in a pair of Wrangler blue jeans and a t-shirt. Okay, really. But I'll wear the tie on Sunday morning, no problem. But if you ask the average Christian what carnality is, you're going to come up with some really bizarre answers. Look at the Word of God. Now, we haven't gotten into charity yet. We're going to get there. Don't worry. Look at verse number 1. Because this is what Paul said that the Corinthian believers had problems with. You know what the Corinthian believers had problems with? Behavior. They had some doctrines that were straight. It wasn't like they just didn't have any good doctrine. But they had never taken the doctrine and began to pull the words off the page and say, let me assimilate that into my life. Let me make that part of my living. They had terrible behavior. Do you know what charity is? Charity is your behavior of love. And we're going to look at those 15 things somewhere in the next couple weeks. And I, brethren, verse number 1, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now you can expect a babe to be carnal, but a lot of these people weren't babes. Now, look at 2 and 3. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. Why do you do that? For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you not, yet now able to bear. Are you able? Now, when a babe is a babe, you're not going to give him a steak dinner. I'm going to say something to you. If you've been saved 5 years, you've better read your Bible through at least once. Folks, why are we here? I'm trying to get to know God better. And you don't get to know God better sitting out under that oak tree. You'll see the glory of God at night and your glory of God in the midday. You'll see it all over. But if you want to know how God thinks, this spiritual being that Jesus Christ is God, if you want to know how He thinks, we got to spend time in the book. We got to, as I said, you got to shut off the computer and shut off. I mean, you know, let me tell you something. The world's not going to stop revolving. The world is not going to stop when you don't answer your text message. Right there. Vitally important. Don't misunderstand me. We want you to know things. On the other hand, the world is not going to stop revolving if the phone doesn't ring, if the TV doesn't TV, if the microwave doesn't microwave, if all these gadgets that we have. I know I am Neanderthal, but it has served me well for 42 years. All you've got to do is take time. Look what he says there in verse number 3. Now look what carnality is to the Apostle Paul. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, got one guy smoking Pall Malls, Another guy smoking Cuban cigars. One guy drinking Jack Daniels. No. One guy going to a movie house, watching PG. I'm not advocating any of that. When I got saved, I didn't give up anything. Nothing. I, honest to God, didn't give up anything. I got in the book. I got around some good people. I got around some, he wasn't 88 years old. I got around him, and he said, just read the Bible. Just read it. Just read it. And the more I read it, it went from a pack of Pall Malls in his top pocket working at a steel mill. I'd walk in with a pack of Pall Malls and a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. With that book, big book like that, I didn't know you were supposed to have a New Testament. You just stuck it in your pocket. I didn't know that at the time. I got one of these big, I got a big black Bible stuck under one arm and a black lunch bucket stuck under the other arm. And I got a Pall Mall sticking out of my mouth. And I just got saved. Glory to God. And I had the kind of job where you could just kind of get everything done in 3 hours and then you waited for something. I was a pyrometer technician. Fire, you know, and all that kind of nonsense and machinery to watch furnaces. And I did 3 hours, I had my job done. Then I got to go back and sit in a caged little thing and read my Bible. You read that book, it'll change your life. It says, ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, look what carnality is. Envy, strife, divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, yet another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? I don't see anything about the things we think are carnal. And I'm not saying those things are not carnal. But when Paul defines carnality, he says envy, strife, divisions. Now, if you take all those chapters, and we're not going to do that, I want you to jump ahead to chapter 12 now. Every one of those chapters, there was something wrong. The Lord's table was being done wrong. You get into chapter 5, that's a sad state of affairs in chapter 5. Saved man is having sex with his stepmother, his husband's wife. I shouldn't have said that. I forgot the boy was here. Paul says the Gentiles don't even do that. The unsaved don't even do that. These were believers who were sitting in church and somebody was preaching doctrine to them, but they had never taken it from the page and brought it into their lives and started to live right. Now you get into chapter 12. You get into chapter 12 and he's going into, look at verse number 13. He talks about one spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? That's got nothing to do with water. That's a spirit baptism. You're put into something. You're immersed. The Spirit of God immersed you into Christ spiritually. Whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one spirit. Now, if you look down, let's just start verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's what we have here tonight. Believers who are the body of Christ, also called the bride of Christ, one flesh, a lot of different members in particular. This is the chapter he talks about, well, you know, is everybody supposed to be a hand? Is everybody supposed to be an eye? No, one body, a lot of members. Now, jump down to verse number 30, because I'm not going to just get into all the details of every little word, but I want you to see the whole theme of this thing. Verse number 30 says, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, happens to be languages, by the way, do all interpret. Now, look at 31. And we know these things. We know these chapters, those of us who have been saved any length of time. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I started in Peter for one reason. It's easy to get sidetracked. Peter makes a comment, but the end of all things is at hand. And in the very next verse, he shifts gears and talks about charity. Talks about behavior. Because you see, my focus as a believer is on my relationship with Jesus Christ and how a lost and dying world perceives that. It's got nothing to do with preaching the rapture. It's got nothing to do with preaching the second coming. I did not say don't explain those things to somebody. You get the time, explain it. But the heart of the issue is this. My relationship, my behavior with Jesus Christ, as I grow in Jesus Christ, to be able to take the words off this page, God in print, and put it into my life. Now, look at chapter 13. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, always a language, remember, and have not charity. You say, well, I have a Bible that says love. I'm going to show you from the Old Testament where love had already been established. But charity had not been established. And though I have the gift and am become as, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just a sound. If I do not have charity, and we'll find out what it is, I'm going through the motions here. And I may have all of my doctrinal ducks in a row. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, my word, those are wonderful things, so that I could remove mountains. Oh God, I wish I could do that. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, grain of a mustard seed, you could remove mountains. Could remove mountains and have not charity. I didn't write this, beloved. You didn't write this. God, through an apostle, Paul, wrote this. Have not charity, I am nothing. Here's what everybody thinks charity is. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profit me nothing. If I look up to verse number 1, you notice it says, though I speak. Charity is not a special revelation. Look at verse number 2. He says, though I have the gift. It's not a special understanding or ability. So it's not a special revelation, though I speak. It's not a special understanding or ability, though I have. You look at verse number 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. It's not a special generosity. He says, and though I give my body to be burned, it's not a special sacrifice. Now, I want you to go back to Leviticus. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians. Go back to Leviticus, because I've repeated a statement a couple times that love had already been established. We're going to find that the law of Moses commanded and demanded love. But the law of Christ embodies it. And the embodiment of that love became what the translators knew to be the word charity. You see, love has to do with a vertical relationship. Does not the Bible say God is love? Now, that's a message in itself. Because what we want to call love sometimes among people, if God's not in it, it's not really love. You do want the Bible to tell you the truth tonight, right? The Bible says God is love. Now, I can know something about God, and I can take that love that was manifested in the person of Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that He gave There's charity right there. God stepped out of heaven. That was love. But this thing that we do among each other, our behavior, you want to, yes, it is connected to the vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. But when I take that vertical relationship with Jesus Christ and try to live it on this human level, it's called charity. And it's got nothing to do with a buck, even though it may sometimes. But it's a lot bigger than charitable giving. Go to Leviticus with me. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Now we're going to read some things, and it's going to talk about neighbor. You remember when Jesus was asked to reduce all the law to two laws? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, then love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, those two embody all of the, 613, 14, whatever it is, way beyond the 10 that Moses brought down. Look at Leviticus chapter 19 and see if I'm in the right place here. Leviticus 19:18. There you go. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, same chapter, look at verse 34. Now, there is this horizontal thing going on here. But Jesus Christ has not stepped out of heaven yet. So I've never seen the embodiment. If I'm in the Old Testament prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, I've never really seen the embodiment of this love. I've never seen God in physical flesh. I've never seen Him walk and talk and live out this love. Everything that we're going to see in those 15 things in this chapter, Jesus Christ was the supreme example. Look at verse number 34. Same chapter. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers. Why? Why should I love him as myself? See, there's always a focus to something. There's always a reason. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. God speaks of love multiple times. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. You see, the law of Moses commanded love. The law of Christ embodied it. And when they translated that word, there was a full understanding of what charity was. Charity was the behavior of love. Charity was something, now keep this in mind, we just went back to chapter 12, A More Excellent Way. 13, keep in mind the condition of the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had a problem with behavior. It wasn't that they didn't understand doctrine. They had a problem with taking the doctrine and making it practical in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse number 5. Here's the great commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You get into Matthew 22, we won't go there, but Jesus says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hang all the prophets. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians with me. Because right in the middle of Peter, making that statement. And it's almost as if, as I said when I read that again today, I wanted to say, you know, it just doesn't fit. He went from talking about the end of all things is at hand, and then it's like he shifts into another gear and says, but I want you to take this charity above all. Because Peter, and if you'll read Paul, even though they explained the second coming of Jesus Christ, and even though they explained the translation, Paul did a lot, the translation of the church, the rapture, do you know what they were more concerned about? Whether I was actually living Jesus Christ. I may understand very little about the second coming. I may understand even less about the rapture. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm at least trying to take that book and making it practical in my life, I and you are going to fare much better at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not about whether I understood the second coming or whether I understood the rapture. And I do to a point. But I'll tell you what, there are some things in that book I really do understand. It's about living right. It's about, and I don't get too concerned about the things that I don't understand. I really get concerned about the things that I do understand and don't do anything about. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 now. You see, charity is behavior. If you're taking notes, write Colossians 3:14 down. Colossians 3:14 talks about put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. A place of maturity, that's what perfection in the Word of God is. It's not so much that it's without sin. Perfectness in the Word of God has to do with maturity. Has to do with taking something that you know and applying it. And it talks about growing. But look at 1 Corinthians. And we're just going to... I've got these listed. We're not going to get to hardly any of them. That's okay. Lord willing, we'll be back next Wednesday. Lord willing. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I want to know what charity is. What is charity? In the next 15 things, you're going to find out what charity is. Because remember, charity is the behavior of love. Charity is taking my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which only I know about. My wife lives with me, has for 41 years. To be very honest with you, I said this to her the other day. She doesn't even know whether I'm saved or not. Truthfully. Now, after 41 years, it's a little hard to fake everything all the time, all right? But I have a relationship, and you do too, with Jesus Christ. Guess what? That is a very personal thing. If you're married here tonight, I have a personal relationship with my wife. Nobody knows about it but me and her. That's the way it's supposed to be. But you know what we've done with the relationship we have with each other as husband and wife? We've tried to give it to our children. We've tried to live in such a way that our children would at least wouldn't be confused as to what is this God all about? So my relationship with Jesus Christ is one thing, but how I translate that to the people around me, that's charity. Now, look at the very first thing. And I'm just going to read. Look at chapter 13, look at verse 4. Here are 15 things that charity is. Charity suffereth long. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm beginning with verse number 4. And we are going to see what Paul spoke to the Corinthian church about behavior, the behavior of love. Now remember, he said that that behavior of love, which is called charity, was above all things. He said, without it, I am nothing. Without it, the doctrines I teach are of no value. They're just sounds. And they make no sense. But when I take the doctrines of this book that have changed my life in the person of Jesus Christ, and when I begin to translate them across the board, when I do that, God begins to work. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You know what I have in my notes? I have in the border of my notes, I have a big parenthesis around 15 things. And then in my notes, I have, these are things a good parent would teach their children. The word suffereth means to allow. Now, we don't suffer, we don't allow many things in America today, especially as New Yorkers. I don't care where you live in America. We are not taught to suffer long on anything. If the girl or the guy in the at Wendy's in the takeout window is just a little too slow, good night, the horns start beeping. I got one word. I got two words for you tonight. Slow down. That's a God's truth. Slow down. You say, I don't like that. Slow down. We're moving at such a pace. We think that if we don't win the world to Jesus Christ, let me tell you what, you haven't won anybody to Jesus Christ. That's between the Holy Spirit of God and that person. All we are witnesses. Tell what you know. Maybe you do get to open a book. Maybe we do get to take somebody through. But you know who does the winning? The Holy Spirit of God. That's just the God. That's why when somebody, it's like somebody says, well, we won 14,722 people of Christ last year. How do you know that? How do you know? I was never called to do that. We don't suffer long with anything. Here's another one. Kindness. Charity is kind. Now, I'm going to read these and then our time's going to get away from us. And maybe next Wednesday, God willing, we'll take these things and really start to expand on them. Look what it says again. Kind. Look what it says. Charity envieth not. The thing of envy. I want what you have. Do you know that it says in the book of in the Gospels that Jesus Christ, the Pharisees and the priests delivered Jesus Christ to the Roman soldiers and Pilate for envy? They were jealous of him. They knew he was God. They knew that he could do miracles, and they couldn't. They knew that he could feed 5,000, and they couldn't. They knew that he could give sight to blind eyes, and hearing to deaf ears, take lame limbs and make them walk, and they couldn't. And instead of bowing their knee, you know what they did? They got envious, gave the Prince of Glory to the executioners. But you know what we do? We start to envy things. We start to envy this and envy that. Look what it says next. Here's charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't boast. That's the word vaunt. And I'm not, I've got a whole bunch of notes here that we may get to. It doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't boast of itself. Can I take you just to one verse, because I really like this verse. Go to Jeremiah. Keep your paper or your finger in 1 Corinthians. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah tells us what we should boast about. Charity suffers long. Charity will allow something to go on and on and on when you don't see any hope in it. When you've prayed, I spoke to, who was it? I spoke to somebody, I forget who it was the other day. Lorraine, how long have you been praying for mom and dad? 11 years. 11 years. They came to the missionary fair. You know why they came? I'm sure this couple had something to do with it. But one of their grandchildren asked them to come. And let me tell you what. I got my sister Joanne Termina sitting here tonight. Do you know why Frankie T's on that trip? He told me. He said, Bobby, little Bobby. How old is little Bobby? 12 years old. He asked his grandpa, would you go to the Philippines with me, grandpa? That's the third generation there. Where's mommy? Is mommy sitting back there? No, yes, she is. Mommy's sitting back there. I knew that little girl. I knew her when she was a little girl. Do you know what we're seeing here? We're seeing the third generation, and it's getting its way into the fourth. And boy, we better protect this place. We better protect each other. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. This is, you want something to vaunteth not itself. Charity just doesn't boast about itself. You want something to boast about? Take what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. He says, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. You want a glory tonight? Glory that you know Jesus Christ personally. Everything else, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I worked in trucking for a lot of years. Ended up with the title running 100. And when I left there, we were running 114 trucks on a Saturday, and I ended up with the title of chief router. And I got to talking to another brother in Christ, older than me. He had come through here, and we were out doing something, and he wanted to know what I did for a living, And I was kind of proud. You know, I paid my dues in that business. I learned it by the seat of my pants. I was 25 years old. I replaced a 75-year-old man who had been doing that job since he was 18. I didn't know anything. This guy could tell you what streets were one way, what bodega was on that corner, what guy was on this corner. You know, he grew up in Brooklyn when 98% of Brooklyn was farm country. And I'm replacing this guy. And I end up with the title, chief router. And I got halfway decent at what I was doing. But I went out with this older Christian, and he's asking me questions, and I'm just, you know, I'm giving him answers, and all of a sudden he says, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a chief router. And he got real quiet. He said, tell me about being a chief router. And I explained it to him. He said, did you ever take that title to the bank? I said, what? He said, did you ever take that title to the bank? You know the things we boast in? Take them to the bank. See if you can get a loan on the fact that you're the chief router. You know what we need to boast on? We need to boast on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said, that's not arrogance, beloved. I can take you through that book and show you I did exactly what God told me to do. I didn't do what some man told me to do, or some priest or some rabbi. I did what that blessed book told me to do. So I have confidence tonight. It's not arrogance. It may appear as arrogance with my personality, but I can tell you right now, it's not arrogance. It's confidence. Go back to 1 Corinthians. We'll wrap this up. Go back to 1 Corinthians with me. So charity vaunteth not itself. If you continue to go down there, is not puffed up. We're not making something of ourselves. Is not puffed up. The next one is a very strange one. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Do you know the word unseemly only appears two times in the Bible? Once is right there, and another time is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. Now, if you went to Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, do you know what the word unseemly is there? It's men with men and women with women. You know what the word unseemly is? Somebody doesn't know their right boundaries. That's what the word unseemly means. No boundaries. God sets up boundaries. God tells me what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. But charity behaves not unseemly. Charity will stay within boundaries. And we'll talk about this next Wednesday. Look at the next one. Charity seeketh not her own. Do you know that I'm supposed to look out for your benefit? That's what Paul writes. Let me see if I can find this. Things just pop into my mind. Go to the book of Ephesians with me. Galatians, Ephesians. Let's see if I can find, because something just popped into my mind. I hope I can. Oh yeah. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 28. Now, if I would ask a man, tell me why you work. You ask me that, I'd say, well, I got a mortgage to pay, and I got a car payment, and I got kids to feed, and I got college bills, and on and on. I got on and on and on. I'm going to read you something that I read this, and sometimes things don't click when you read it for years and years and years, and all of a sudden the light just goes on. Do you know why we work? Got to pay bills, Brother Pat. Yep, got to pay bills. I understand that, boy, I do. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, because we're talking about seeking not her own. Charity doesn't seek her own. Let him that stole, I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, let him that stole steal no more. So if you got saved and you were a thief, stop stealing. You don't need to steal anymore. Your Heavenly Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Now here we go. Rather let him labor, working with his own hands the thing which is good, watch it now, that he, the one working with his own hands, may have to give to him that needeth. I didn't write it, beloved. I just read it. You know why I have a job? So I can have enough resources. And I know most of us are living way beyond our budget. I remember, I don't know how many years ago, I read where the average American had $34,000 worth of credit card debt on about 10 credit cards. $34,000 worth of debt. Do you know why I have a job? Well, Paul seemed to think it was because once I was a thief, and now I know, now I don't steal anymore. Now I actually got a good. I'm working. I know the Savior, and He says that He may have to give to him that needeth. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to. Charity seeketh not her own. If you look down through there, and I'm going to go through the rest of them real quickly. Charity is not easily provoked. Charity is not easily provoked. Sometimes we get into situations where, my word, the buttons get pushed. Bible talks in Proverbs about controlling your own spirit. But charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoices not in iniquity. Charity rejoices in the truth. Charity bears all things. We'll elaborate, God willing, next Wednesday. Charity believes all things. That doesn't mean you put your brain on the shelf when you become a Christian. It's not what that means. But when it comes to this book, somebody said to me one time, if you can believe the first 10 words in the Bible, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. If you can believe the first 10 words in the Bible, you'll not have any problem with the rest of it. Because everything around me tells me God didn't create. There is no God. No creation. I came from some mud splot somewhere. Some cosmic. We just sent, what is it called? The Endeavor? We just sent it on its last mission. I don't know how many billions of dollars that we put up there to find. I'm listening to it tonight, just once again, walking past the TV. They want to find some cosmic dust somewhere. Some cosmic reason of why we're here. Are we playing with a full deck, brother? I don't think we're playing with a full deck anymore. You know, the light's on. Nobody's home. Yeah. Lester Roloff, old evangelist, used to say, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. And I'm all for learning. I love to learn. I love to read. I love to learn, but you want to know something? Sometimes things just baffle you. When you've got somebody down here, I can take you down into the Appalachia where kids never get a full belly of food. That's in the country we live in. And we do. What doesn't make sense to me. Have at it. Charity believes all things. Charity hopes all things. Charity endureth all things. We're going to elaborate, God willing. We're way out of time. 15 things. That's what charity is. Charity is my relationship with Jesus Christ being worked out in a godly behavior among God's people. That's what charity is. And come this Saturday, our ladies, 140 plus, they're going to get together, mother, daughter, they're going to get together with one of the elder ladies, pastors, founding pastor's wife. They are going to have a wonderful time. Sunday, God willing, I'm getting back into the pulpit again because pastor's not back yet. And you want to know something? We're going to have, I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a wonderful time again. And wherever the end happens, it's going to happen. You ain't going to miss it. But Peter said, end of all things is at hand. But I'm going to tell you something about charity. We miss the most important thing, and that's our behavior among each other and to the lost, because I know Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your goodness to us tonight. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the Word of God.